This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jimmy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
I lost my mind again, out where the river swelled with rain. She kindly took me in, made me feel I was not the one to blame. As change was blowing in the trees, the unknown shaking at my knees. Her voice places me at ease, and I'm home again. Girl of all seasons, girl of all seasons, girl of all seasons.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Fort Worth, Texas, from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, where creativity is king, where this show is broadcast, attempting to enlighten your musical life, give you some direction out there as you forge ahead, looking for direction, wondering where the music business is going, wondering what us artists deal with and struggle with and sometimes triumph over in our lives out there. It's interesting to me and my friends, and we hope you as well. You enlightened souls listening, welcome again. How about last week, man, the John Rich story from Kurt South? Wasn't that just chilling? Rich bounding onto the stage in his shiny suit. If you missed that one, man, go back and listen to that. That's episode 73, I believe. One of those recently here. Kurt South was joining us. Well, man, we have a special treat today. Kurt South is here again. He will be joining us here in the second segment, as he is wont to do. We're going to talk about a recent incident, semi-recent incident, where the very popular band Kings of Leon, you know of whom I speak, playing a show. Some things happen on stage. We'll get into that in a segment. But the band plays, to sum it all up, the band plays three songs and leaves because stuff was happening that they didn't like. So, anyway, some semi-riot broke out. Nothing major. Nothing on the Guns N' Roses level. Come on. You think Kings of Leon's big enough to have a Guns N' Roses type riot? Give me a break. They got a ways to go for that. No, but you know, some certain grumbling. People walking out of the Verizon Amphitheater there in St. Louis. Very upset that Kings of Leon only played three songs. What happened, Phil? What happened? Well, if you don't know the story, stay tuned for our second segment as we recount the events of that date and discuss, me and Kurt South, how they handled it. Even if you do know the story, you're going to want to hear Kurt South's opinion on this, as well as my own. Because it's a tough line to draw, man, when stuff goes wrong on stage. Man, one time we played a whole show in College Station, you know, with the PA off. We just kind of sat there and sang a cappella. Several stuff like that. Monitors break, amps go out, microphones don't work. Many artists, performers, just go run for the hills when that happens. Just run to the side of the stage and collapse sobbing in the arms of their road manager or something. Well, not this band, ladies and gentlemen. Not Phil Pritchett and the full band. You've seen us up there playing with no strings, no drum heads on the drums, maybe an amp not working. It's just the show must go on. Am I right? The show must go on. So we'll discuss Kings of Leon kind of backing out of the show and attempt to shed a little light on that subject. Well, I was intrigued, ladies and gentlemen. You know the blogs I read most here. Always trying to stay up, always looking for an edge, an idea, a thought from somebody who thinks about and writes about the same things that I do. So we always read Bob Lefsetz and Seth Godin, two great blogs. you know, information, ideas. They both were talking about the changing significance of the Billboard album chart. Actually, Seth Godin was talking about Billboard and also talking about the New York Times bestseller list. And Bob Lefsetz was talking about the Billboard chart. And they were both just making kind of the same point in their two different arenas about how, you know, in the digital age, that how insignificant that's become. That used to just be the radar, the beacon for what was going on in the world, you know? I mean, what are the hot books to read, man? The album, what's number one, man? We always want to know what's number one. You know, college football, who's number one? That just gives you the direction. That makes you, that lets you start with something, you know? Start with the centerpiece, something to work from. But in these days, man, with the internet, with so many different ways to acquire music, to acquire books, to read things, to watch things, to, you know, participate in things, listen to things, you know, you wonder about the significance of Billboard. And Lefsetz was making the point, and so was Seth Godin, that these things can just be bought, you know, that these authors and books have very calculated release plans. They have very orchestrated campaigns to push that book up the charts. It's really not a whole lot unlike, you know, we've talked about on this show with our several guests, talking about the Texas Music Charter. You know, see the chart on the back of the magazines and things. And it's hard to, I mean, you sure you see names you recognize on there that you're not surprised are on there. You're like, you know, this guy's up there somewhere. But then there's always just a bunch of names in there you don't recognize, or songs you've never heard, or, and, it seems very inconsistent at times with what's kind of going on or what you perceive to be what's real. And the reason is, you know, is they've got, you know, agents and stuff, and there's ways to get that information, that, you know, your name and album posted high in that list. Godin was talking about authors. I didn't realize they did this, man. Like you know, like Borders and Barnes & Noble, a publishing house or a promoter for a book will go out and buy big batches of books on certain days. You have to time it just right, you understand. It's all about the timing. Yeah, you just send some guy in there, just, I'd like 100 copies of this new book, you know. And but so those sales get racked up, you know, to appear on the chart, the New York Times bestseller list, in the hopes that, you know, my mother is reading the paper and, oh, this is on the New York Times bestseller list. It must be pretty good, you know, and go out and buy the book as well. And just they were both making the point that it seems like as the significance of these charts fall away, there's more and more people paying to get on the chart. And you end up with this chart that is keeping score, but it's just the numbers are so skewed. It's information so meaningless and out of kilter with what really goes on, fluffed up. It's just, you know, the significance of it is just not what it used to be. Now, you always had Billboard. You always had labels and people staging big, you know, record-buying parties and, you know, writing up sales for free records and all this. That's always been kind of a game to get on the chart, you know, in the Billboard world, the old-school record business. But these days, it just doesn't. I just don't think people are going to look at a chart like that and make decisions to buy something. Maybe like you would, you know, years ago, because you'd kind of look at the Billboard chart and say, "Hey, let's see what's out there, let's see what's selling, see what people are listening to." That's just gotten less and less true. I mean, there's some sites out there, charts. I think it's called Big Champagne, if I'm not mistaken, and it's a new chart. I've only heard about it recently from a couple people. I think Lefsetz mentioned it. And it, what it is, it's a chart. It's just got a list of singles, but it takes information from everywhere. Like, you know, downloads from iTunes, Napster, Rhapsody, Spotify, I think, just anything like that. Any sort of digital information or, digital activity on a song, not so much sales of CDs or anything like that. And it ranks them in, it's got a formula for, you know, weighing certain, you know, information that it gets, filtering information, and then letting you see, like, hey, here's kind of our number one song that just seems to have the most activity, downloads, you know, people talking about it online, all kinds of stuff. I'm not sure where they pull all their information from, but it's, you know, a lot of those big digital sites, and all kinds, any sort of digital activity makes it onto Big Champagne. So who knows, man? That'd be kind of interesting to see if that becomes sort of a tastemaker, a filter for the future. Because that's really what these guys are looking for. You and me, right? The fans. Ladies and gentlemen listening to the P2 podcast, we want to hear good music. We want to go see good movies, read good books. But what are the trusted filters, man? I mean, I used to trust Saturday Night Live and David Letterman. I figured, hey, man, if this band's on here, they must be really making things happen. You know, I saw them on Letterman last night, so I went out and bought the record the next day. If it was a band I hadn't previously heard of, I'd give that a lot of, that carried a lot of weight with me. You know, I was like, well, hey, they can't be that bad. And I'd look further into it. But now there's just, God, just whoever's on there, I'm just like, oh, whatever. You know, their agent's been, you know, beating up the buyer at Letterman, you know, just to get him on this show. They forced him on here, and they're all up there playing with their hair in their eyes and their scarves, you know. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't find myself thinking, oh, I'm missing out. Who are these guys? I'm just like, oh, God, who are these guys? It's never something that really interests me just because they're on Letterman. Does that make any sense? So what are the filters, man? I think, you know, for some of you enterprising people out there, there is a gigantic market out there. This is what Google did, really, with search information, is they became a filter. You go to Google, you type in what you need. It's a filter, man. It gets rid of other information that's, you know, useless and gives you the useful stuff. But, man, we're sorely missing that in the digital music world with so much music out there being created all the time. And it's so hard to filter it and organize it and know where to look and where to turn to buy stuff, to be exposed to stuff. You know, there's some sites out there like Pitchfork and things like that that, you know, do guide people. But the old things, man, gosh, Billboard and Rolling Stone, as Kurt South said on a previous show, I mean, he wrote some long letter to Rolling Stone and you know, told him he was canceling his subscription, you know. Of course, it's just not a lot about music anymore. It's just some, you know, naked person on the cover and just, I don't know. It gets smaller and more full of ads, and it's a disappointing deal, man. The dying of the old media, but onward with progress, right? Oh, man, right here in town, Fort Worth, the Star-Telegram shows up the other morning. It's about, God, it's a lot smaller than it was, man. It's just narrow. It looks like a my old high school newspaper, man. You know, kind of narrow, just like 8 thick pages, you know? And that was it, man. And of course, they're on there. They're saying, hey, we got this new look. It's going to be easier for you to find what you're looking for. We have our customers in mind, you know? Oh, man. And I know they're trying. Bless their hearts. It always makes me a little sad, though. I'm just like, oh, come on. Because they're not fooling me, man. We all know that no one really reads the paper much anymore and that advertisers don't, you know, buy ads in the papers like they used to. Gosh, you see that? Have you been through the classifieds, man, in a local newspaper in a long time? Oh, my gosh. It's depressing. I used to go through there looking for, you know, guitars and amps and stuff, cars, just anything, you know, I just go through the classifieds on Sunday. I look forward to it. You know, I just go through there looking for deals. But now you go on there, there's just nothing, man. Musical instruments, there's just like 3 or 4 little boxes. And sometimes it says stuff like, I buy guitars, call me, or something like that. It's not even some dude. Yeah, you never see, man, I got a 4-piece 1968 Ludwig drum kit. You know, you never see that anywhere. That's all going to be Craigslist and eBay, of course. No one with anything good is going to call the Star-Telegram. But, I don't know. Sitting there drinking my coffee in the morning with my minuscule, my small copy of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram with its 4 articles. Oh, I shake my head. I weep a little bit. But I read the stories. I still give it a chance. Still flip through the classifieds and make sure I'm not missing anything. So that's what we do, man. So Billboard and the New York Times bestseller list ain't what it used to be, man. Email me and let me know what your filters are, man. Is there someone you turn to? Obviously, if you listen to this show, you're looking for a little guidance. Hope I can provide that on some level. Some level. Gee. But let me know, man, if I'm missing something. If you go, hey, man, there's this cool website you can go to. Of course, there's a lot of good Texas music websites out there. You got Galley Winner. You got all kinds of stuff that features Texas music and stuff. But, you know, not that they're being paid off or anything, but, you know, anyone can get on there. Does that make any sense? I'm not saying anybody can get in the editorials that they write and things like that, but you go there, you're often inundated with every band in the world of Texas, just hundreds of people trumpeting their new album. There's not a filter, man. There's not just, hey, look, here's something good to listen to. Here's one or two things that, you know, to focus on. Because any of us can only focus on a couple things. You know, we need a short list of what's kind of going on. So think of a filter, man. Are you out there? Can you be the next tastemaker, the next filter? We need filters. That's what we need moving forward. Well, coming up in our next segment, folks, brace yourself. He's out there in the hall right now, guzzling down Mountain Dew, you know, just banging into the walls. His car is broken down and stalled out here in the parking lot where it's been for the last couple of hours. He's been trying to jumpstart his car. Kurt South is out there in the hallway, just a rapping at my chamber door, ready to come in here and talk about the Kings of Leon deal. Oh, my goodness. Did you ever think pigeon crap? That's right. Pigeon crap would be discussed in detail on this show. Of course, if you've listened to the show long enough, you know that nothing is off limits or out of bounds. You never know where it's going to show up. But that's what we're going to get into here. Kings of Leon, St. Louis, pigeon crap with our friend Kurt South. Next. Middle of all the season.
In the trees, the unknown shaking at my knees. Her voice places me at ease, and I'm home again.
Girl of all fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, enlightening your musical life with stories, predictions, thoughts and observations from the Texas musical world. Texas and elsewhere, coming to you from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth. Come record here, as so many have done. Yes, you, Brian Hunt, Seth Jones, Brian Sachs, Adrian Escovedo, Zach Huckabee, Nick Berzosa, and so many more. We love you all. 817-733-5256. Call me to record at the studio or to book Phil Pritchett and the full band. We've played so many great weddings and stuff this summer. We've had a ball. It's been great. Well, we have the didactic Dark Knight himself, the other half of the didactic duo, a man who roams his street here in Fort Worth with a loaded shotgun in one hand, a bottle of Carlo Rossi red wine in the other, wearing nothing but a tattered robe with nothing underneath and a weathered hunting hat, suspiciously eyeing any parked cars that have been there for a day or two, warding off the mailman, chasing squirrels off of his yard, growing some carrots in the backyard, ready for anything, ready for the doom of the United States of America, and at any minute could jump in his car, drive northward or some other direction, and survive for many years without any contact with the outside world. Kurt South is here.
It's coming, folks.
It's coming. There's no question about it.
You have been warned repeatedly, and if you don't
on
believe
this show,
it, you will be a victim.
That's right.
It's coming.
It's coming, Kurt South says. Well, man, I loved getting this story. It was kind of came out in various outlets about a little while back, St. Louis. Sold out show.
Great town.
I don't know if it was sold out, but it was a big shed amphitheater type deal, Verizon Amphitheater. Kings of Leon. Oh, tell me how great.
Oh, this sex is on fire.
Dude, they're up there with Coldplay. Just bands that people tell me I should like, and I go, dude, I just think they suck. Sorry. I don't know. I'm probably wrong.
Oh,
I'm just, that's just
have,
my opinion.
They have flashes of greatness for me. I mean, there's some of their stuff.
You like it? The
yeah,
early stuff.
Some
early
of the stuff.
Yeah,
stuff
yeah.
Is good, but. You know, I don't dislike them. They used to be cool until I read this story.
Well, what happens is, of course, what was really interesting is how the story got conveyed just over Twitter and stuff from people who watched what was going on. Like, there was no official statement released by the band. Like the drummer just went backstage and said, yeah, this is what happened or something. That's kind of another story. But what happened was everyone goes to Kings Leon, couple opening bands. There were some unnerving incidences going on with the opening bands. Like the whoever was singing kept kind of looking skyward, just, ah, you know. And it turns out there's a bunch of pigeons up there in the rafters just crapping on the band. So Kings of Leon comes on the stage, St. Louis. Wow. Three songs. Some pigeon just unleashes, you know, a long white stream of excrement. That hits, that according to the band's tweet, the drummer's tweet on the subject, that it hit the microphone, the singer's mic of Kings of Leon, splattered and exploded and went into his mouth. He said, man, the pigeons were actually crapping in the singer's mouth. He finally just unplugged his guitar and walked off stage in disgust. And the crowd thought it was a joke, like, okay, what's going on? They played three songs and everybody walked off. And everybody started chanting. Then everybody starts chanting, you know, starts screaming. A small riot ensues, honking. And the show is over. They just came on stage and said, that's it. Kings of Leon got a little bird crap on his head. Canceled the entire show. Kurt South, right or wrong?
Oh.
Do you like being crapped on while you're trying to play?
I'm crapped on every time I play.
Oh. I can't believe those guys have never been crapped on. They've played a lot of shows. I mean, haven't they endured worse than this?
Here's the
Good
way.
Good grief.
Here's the way I look at it.
All right.
According to their management, it just became a toxic health hazard. Mm-hmm. But what about all the dope and drinking that they do while they're out on the road? That's not a toxic health hazard.
Well, I don't know, but
they're notoriously hard partying band.
Are they really? Yeah, yeah.
So you're telling me that, I don't know. Is eating an eight ball and drinking whiskey that different from having a pigeon crap in your mouth? I don't know. Maybe it is. I think this is one of those do or die situations.
Okay.
It's a do or die.
Because that's a tough call. There's always this as a performer. You're on stage and, man, something starts happening. Every time you touch your microphone, you get a hell of an electrical shock.
Now, that's different. That's electrocution.
Okay.
No one has ever been killed by a freaking pigeon.
All right.
No one.
The sound is bad. There's just people throwing stuff at the stage. There's reasons you get into as a performer.
You know what, Kings of Leon?
You're kind of like, man, maybe I should leave the stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, my deal is kind of like, dude, there's that many people there and they've paid that much money. You got to just move your mic back. Maybe say, man, give me a few minutes. We got to get backstage, take care of some stuff. We'll be right back. Love you all. And walk off. Yeah, you know,
Not a tarp they could have rigged up there real quick or something.
Something, man.
I don't know. But look, a band like Kings of Leon, they're probably getting a million plus per performance.
These days, something like that.
Yeah.
$750.
Easily.
Yeah.
Okay. I will let anyone crap on me for $1 million. If all I have to do is stand there and take it for an hour and a half.
Come on.
Seriously, you would do it too.
Oh, I don't know. Come on.
Start slinging the poo, hand me the seven-figure check, and I'm out of there, and I go, man, that sure was messy, but I got $1 million freaking, and I'm going to take it and
buy corn.
They
got to split that four ways, and then taxes eats that up.
Oh, give me a break. Now, I think it's a do or die moment where you go, are we going to be, we started out as gritty, salt of the earth, rock and rollers from Nashville.
Right. And now?
Are we just going to put our panties on and walk off?
Yeah.
And let everyone go, yeah, they are a bunch of pampered, you know what? Or are we going to say, screw it, we got fans, we're going to get paid, let's do it. We're not going to let a bird with diarrhea stop us. Or 10,000 birds.
Well, seriously, I mean, they've bound to have had worse stuff than that. I mean, I'm just kind of like, dude, haven't they just had whiskey bottles thrown at them and stuff? I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's other reasons to go off stage.
Dude, I have some
bird pooping
buckshot,
on you. I'm
kind of,
I don't know. I mean, just back the mic up and say, or make a joke about it, man. Take your shoe off and throw it up there. The birds to scatter them. It's like, man, some birds up here crapping on me. You just get through it. Right?
I had a drunk guy on a donkey go running across our stage a few months ago.
Now, that could have been at any number of your shows, something like that going on.
Look, I think they could have done they could have done a lot for themselves fighting through it. Because, look, those bands don't get up there and play for 3 hours.
Yeah.
They do, like, 75 minutes and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
Yeah, it just... You'd like to have seen the story be, man, that was happening. And then they came back on stage. Lead singer just takes out a 20-gauge shotgun and just fires a couple rounds into the rafters.
Yeah, where were their
firearms? Drops about 7 pigeons on the stage and says, those birds were crapping on my head. If you wanted to play a show, it had to be done. The crowd would have roared and just kick over his amp and rock the show. The rock stars of yore would have done that, maybe.
Yeah.
There's some that would have done that.
Yeah.
And not just gone off stage because I don't know, man. I thought it was sort of a wimp move, man. I was like, oh, come on.
Well, you know who Jason Isbell is? Jason Isbell on the 400
Drive-by truckers?
Sure. Yeah. He had a good Facebook post about that. He just said, oh, I saw the Kings of Leon had to cancel their show. It's real funny coming from some guys who keep mirrors on their amplifiers so they can keep their hair looking good. Just
right.
You know, because Kings of Leon and Drive-by Truckers and Jason Isbell, you know, they all kind of came out of the South, Nashville,
yeah.
Alabama, you know, roots rock deal. And Isbell's a salt of the earth, no BS kind of guy. You know what? Isbell would have stood up there and taken it. You know what? Because he needs the money.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
But I mean, I think that's
plus
one of
you
those...
don't want to disappoint that many people. I mean, you know, they've all paid and sat in traffic to get to see you.
Yeah.
After three songs, you don't want to get dirty, so you leave. I mean, plus it just seems like you could have just slid that mic back. I mean, I doubt there's just pigeons crapping like all over on the whole stage.
Well, they said it was a pigeon infestation.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they said it was a huge issue.
Just falling everywhere.
But put on a raincoat, throw your hood up.
Rock the
just
house.
Just do something,
come
man.
On.
I don't buy it. I just don't. Like I said, there's 20,000 people out there all paid anywhere from 50 to who knows how many hundreds of dollars to see the show.
Yeah.
And... you just gotta do it.
Yeah, you just have to, man.
Man,
you wait. What would you have done? Left? Just cut? Would you have done the old comeback with the 20-gauge pump? And hey, when Verizon Wireless tries to sue you, just say, hey, man, if you wouldn't have got rid of these birds, somebody had to do it. Y'all didn't do it.
Yeah,
I could have canceled the show, or I could come in here and take care of it myself. That's what I'd have done.
And what could have happened that would just make them instantaneous heroes? You just come out there, you just shoot off 20 or 30 rounds. Of course, the cops will come and arrest you for discharging the firearm in public and all
that's
that.
That's right, sure.
You get arrested on stage.
Yeah.
Fans go, man, he was doing that for us.
Yeah, that's right.
You post bail.
Amen.
You're out in 2 hours. There's other ways to handle this.
You're the lead story. You're the lead story on...
Just Jacob Falwell with a 20-gauge just going to town.
Just walks on stage and
the cops come and knock him down.
The EPA and the animal rights people would just be holding protests at their
gigs.
Even
more reason to do it.
It would have been great. He could have just said, hey, man, I don't go around crapping on pigeons. They can't crap on me. That's what I'm saying. Our fans were there to see us play, and play we did. And the venue should have taken care of it.
Instead,
you know,
they left and went straight to a Regis Hair Salon.
Yeah.
And
Tony and Guy, maybe
got Manny Petties and, you know,
that's
got
right.
their diapers changed.
They had another show to play the next night. They didn't care about that one.
But the thing that got me was their manager talking about what a health hazard it was.
The health hazard.
All right,
we could not
if you're out there
this.
drinking green tea and eating tofu and doing sit-ups before the show, okay. But, man, they're a notorious party band.
Sure.
Don't give me this. It's unhealthy.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
We're looking out for the band's health.
Give me a break.
Have you ever had an incident on stage where you've just kind of gone, at least like, man, we got to go off and...
Every show.
And try to... But have you ever had to leave? I mean, just for at least a song, or just, man, I got to get off and figure out my guitar, or we got to get that guy out of here. I just can't do it, man. Have you ever had something like that?
I can't remember anything specific that just forced it to I mean, I remember there's been some weather issues
right.
where it was like,
we could get
electrocuted and
lightning.
Die or something.
Sure.
But, man, I don't remember anything that was just...
I was trying to think if we'd had something.
You know what? In Starkville, Mississippi in February, a brawl broke out towards the end of our show.
Yeah.
You just couldn't recover. I mean, they had to clear the bar out. Cops were coming.
Blood everywhere.
I mean, you know, and like one of our microphones got knocked over in the melee, and we couldn't even find the microphone, and it was a small club where you couldn't avoid being in the fray, and you know, but that was out of our hands. That was just you know, the audience erupted.
Right.
And, you know, the fight happened like 2 songs before the show was over. So, you know, we had already played an hour and a half, so it wasn't like... But, man, other than that, I don't remember a situation where we played, shut it down.
We played a big deal in Lubbock out there at the lake with Ingram and a couple guys.
There's a lake in Lubbock?
Well, yeah. The wind was howling. And, man, people were just throwing beer, like slinging beer, the liquid at the stage, like just on whoever was playing. Just, just like that. And, man, I just stood there and took it. I didn't know. I was just trying to rock a little harder. Yeah, but Ingram's people were like, dude, if one drop hits him, man, we're walking. So they didn't throw it at him, I noticed.
Really?
Yeah. I was just sitting there soaking wet. I just played. I was like, dude, I sat there and had about 40 beers thrown at me.
They were throwing beer at you?
Like slinging it out of the can. The moisture, not the...
You didn't say anything?
They weren't throwing that. Yeah, man, you're just kind of like, hey, cool it, baby. You know, it was just... Oh. It's just like you saw like the Sex Pistols playing or something, man. We were just jumping around and beer was everywhere. I don't know. It was kind of... That's just what was happening at that show, you know, as we were just running around. The other time, I think, I was trying to... We were playing at Fitzwillie's early on, and it was a thunderstorm, and all the power went off. Every power. All the power. Or the PA did.
Yeah.
And so we played, like, almost, like, 30 minutes, 45 minutes with no mics. I mean, like my amp still worked. The amps and the drum kit was just live. Yeah. So, and man, I walked out in the crowd... On the patio, I stood on a table and I just sang with no mic, just real loud. We did a bunch of songs like that, you know. But I didn't quit. I fought through it. Yeah, I guess you know. There's a famous video of Diana Ross. Do you remember this? Like in the 80s, she did a free Central Park concert deal, free, just all millions of people. And man, this storm whips up. I saw this on one of these VH1, like one of the weirdest show moments or something. I don't know. This was a few years ago, but I remember this happening. And she was on stage singing, and this storm whips up, dude. And I mean, it is major, but it's, you know, people still hanging in there. And dude, all of a sudden, there's sideways rain and wind. And dude, she's up there fighting through it, just singing. And I mean, but dude, it is just harrowing. Just the lights are swinging, just light. And she's just up there, just why? Just Diana Ross, just sticking it out. And it goes, man, she just stayed up there. I think she finally did go off, but it was. It's pretty comical. I want to do some YouTube stuff on that. It probably is.
Surely there
Diana
is.
Ross. I think it was Central Park, and it was just, I mean, just a blinding rainstorm, you know, wind and just, my gosh. But that is a tough deal because the performer has a tough choice at that. But you're just like, okay, do we keep, you know, how long do we stay up? When do we just say, you know, I can't.
I mean, if it's a legitimate hazard to your health or well-being at that moment.
I thought there's
been another time we had like a dude who kept jumping on stage and stuff, and we just kind of were like, look, if you do that anymore, we're you know, because he was like grabbing mics and knocking stuff over, and you know, but actually I think Hobbs threatened to kill him and he finally stopped. You know, if there's a legitimate concern where you're going to get electrocuted, you're going to get hurt in some way, anything like that, okay, I understand. I don't know that was one of those moments that...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, where you just walk off.
You're going to get covered in a bunch of crap, and it's going to suck. It's going to whatever, but man...
You can either use that and press on, or you can just slink off the stage. Yeah. Kurt South would have stayed out there, covered in bird crap.
I would have welcomed it.
Welcomed it.
Bring on the birds.
And that $750,000 check at the end of the show. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I'll take it.
Pay Hobbs his $100 and then just take the rest of it to the next town, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the expenses.
I will never, ever pay Hobbs $100. He gets $70 every show.
No matter what.
And he's overpaid at that. Overpaid, Hobbs. You hear that?
Well, Kurt South has been here lending his philosophy, his didactic wisdom to your life. Just when you think you've got things figured out, Kurt South shoots that perspective out there. A little idea to make you think, the world really is a different place than I previously thought. Well, thank you, South, for coming here, sharing stories, sharing your opinions.
Thank you.
And all of you out there, check out Kurt. His new video, new album, KurtSouth.net?
KurtSouthMusic.com.
KurtSouthMusic.com, man. The new John Reynolds film video is up there. The new album out there. Check it out. He's also playing it at Oh, gosh. The burger place.
Fred's?
Fred's. I was thinking Sam. We played Sam's Burger Joint a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was thinking Sam's. Like, it's not Sam's.
Come
it's
out
Fred's.
Fred's. We only have a few more Fred's gigs left. A
few more Fred's gigs left. Well, Kurt South has been here. Coming up, we're going to... I'm going to blindfold myself. Walk
Kings
up,
of Leon in the vault.
Walk over to the vault. Hope I don't pick up a Kings of Leon record. And see if I can pick up something old, something new, and offer some insight into it. I'll do my best. In the vault, next.
Cut this picture into you and me. There's a kid on the floor below me saying, brother, can you spare sunshine for a brother, old man, winter's in the air. Walk me up a story, asking how you are. Told me not to worry, you were just a shooting star.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast, sitting here in beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. So glad you could join us this week on the podcast. What is in the vault today, Phil? What is in the vault? Well, we're going to stretch it a little bit. Get a little strange, a little weird, a little out there. That's what this show's about. If nothing else, am I wrong or am I right? Take the ride with me, folks. We're going to talk about the late, great Elliott Smith here. One of his records that I always had. He made four or five in his brief life. We're going to look at his record XO that I had. Somebody gave to me a while back, you know, right when it came out. Oh, late 90s, I don't know, 97, 98. I've been really influenced by this. And this is one of those records that it's got that old sound to it, man, that old analog sound. The way he does his vocals, very cool. A lot of layering, a lot of harmonies, all that Beatles kind of stuff that I love so much that you fans have heard from me for so long. So, Elliott Smith, known for his tragic life, he committed suicide 2003. Very dark, very depressed kind of guy, but made some beautiful music, man. How often and sad it is that sometimes the beautiful, most heart-wrenching stuff comes from some of these artists that seem to suffer greatly in life. Elliott Smith is certainly in that category, but always a favorite of mine. Let's take a listen to this track here, the little waltz that I love. It's called Waltz Number 2 from XO, Elliott Smith.
into space like a dead China doll. Never gonna know you now, but I'm gonna love you anyhow. Now she's done and we're calling someone. Search of the million names. I'm so glad that my memory's remote, 'cause I'm doing just fine. How do I know to know? Here it is, the revenge to the tomb. That it's well understood. I'm never gonna know you now, but I'm gonna love you anyhow.
Waltz number 2, Elliott Smith, love that one. You know, Smith really came to prominence with the release of his song Miss Misery, which was included on the Great Goodwill Hunting soundtrack. Just those sad, morose songs. But what a great song. I remember seeing that movie, man, and just thinking, dude, that song. Just, do you miss me, miss misery, like you say you do? Just that whispered vocal, you know. So much nuance, so much essence in his vocal, man. It's just so inside. You feel like you're just listening to the guy's soul on that stuff. All of his stuff's like that. You know, he never just kicks out the jams and, you know, does some yeehaw thing. Always very introspective. This is another one off that record. What do we got queued up here? Ah, yes. Another favorite. Baby Britain, XO. Elliott Smith.
Baby Britain feels the buzz, floating over a sea of vodka, separated from the rest. Fights problems with bigger problems. Sees the ocean falling eyes. Counts the waves as somehow didn't hit her. Water pouring from her eyes. Yourself up.
can't help until you start. We knocked another couple back. The dead soldiers lined up on the table, still prepared for an attack. They didn't know they'd been disabled. Felt a wave of rush of blood. You won't be happy till the bottle's broken. You're out swimming in the flood. You kept back, you kept unspoken. For someone half as smart, you'd be a work of art. You put yourself apart, and I can't help you until you start. Gotta look in your eye when you're saying goodbye, like you wanna say I. The light was on, but it was dim. Revolver's been turned over, and now it's ready once again. The radio was playing Crimson and Clover. London Bridge is safe and sound. No matter what you keep repeating, nothing's gonna drag me down to a death that's not worth cheating for. Someone half as smart, you put yourself apart, and I can't help until you start. For someone half as smart, you'd be a work of art. You put yourself apart.
Baby Britain. Elliot Smith there. Phil Pritchett with you today, folks, on the P2 Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We're just wallowing in the P2 vinyl vault, rolling around on the floor surrounded by vinyl records. Today we've plucked out some Elliot Smith for your listening pleasure. Such a sad life, a depressed life, drugs, alcohol, depression. But it all shows up in the music, man. He's able to... Elliot Smith's able to turn it into these such sad songs, man, but just beautiful, and a big influence on me. There's many Pritchett recordings out there with whispery double-tracked vocals. A lot of times late on my records. I kind of stick them out there. You don't want to scare anyone too much, but he was one of those guys who really had his own style, really knew how to produce his own records. You don't listen to his stuff and go, oh, it must have been done by this guy or that guy. It was just, they were just Elliot Smith tunes, you know, and Elliot Smith tracks, whether it was in his basement, on a demo, or, in a studio. It all kind of had, there's just an essence to it, and there's a lot of films out there with his songs in it. Even when he does a cover, what was that Cat Stevens song he did in that song, movie? I can't remember, but when the vocal came on, you go, man, it's Elliot Smith. This is another great one. This is another one off of XO called Oh Well Okay. One of my favorites here, man. Listen to the chord progressions on this. Some of you guys out there writing songs, just playing your G, C, and D. Listen to the chords he's playing here, man, when he starts to go into the little pre-chorus and the chorus. Take note, Elliot Smith.
Here's the salon with the face always turned away. The bleeding color gone to black, dying like a day. Couldn't figure out what made you so unhappy. Shook your head to say no, 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 and stop for a spell and stay that way. I got pictures, I just don't see it anymore. Climbing hour upon hour through a total bore, with the one I keep where it never fades, in the safety of a pitch black.
I still remember that the Oscars that year, you know, Smith's song Miss Misery was nominated for Best Song for the Oscars films the year, I think it was the year of Titanic, Celine Dion. So here was Elliott Smith on stage, this indie folky guy playing his guitar all by himself. I think the orchestra accompanied him on it. But the other song was My Heart Will Go On. Celine comes out singing. You know, they used to do like the medleys. They don't even play the songs now at the Oscars. You know, they just sort of read them off and give someone an award. Takes too much time, I guess. Takes too much time away from those great speeches we get to hear at the Oscars. But yeah, that was the first time I'd even seen Elliott Smith, and there he was holding hands with Celine Dion, who I think she won that year for that big Titanic song. But I was proud of all. It was cool to see some indie dude up there at the Oscars. In fact, Elliott Smith said that, yeah, it was a weird show to play, but it was fun to, in his words, he said, to walk around on the moon for a day, you know, just sort of in that surreal Hollywood atmosphere that the Oscars certainly creates. So that was kind of the impression, the image he had, man, was just sort of this artist just adrift in the world. Indeed, he wrote all the lyrics for this. I remember reading about EXO just sitting in a bar drinking vodka, you know, or something, and not talking to anybody for days on end, and he just sit there and write his lyrics, you know. And he wasn't a big performer. He had many train wreck kind of performances towards the end of his career. You know, he had several suicide attempts and all sorts of awful stuff. But somehow, man, he got into the studio and would record these things that I really dig. Folks, that is our show for this week. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, for making us part of your working week. We hope we have shed a little light. Put that light in the fog for you to follow, that lighthouse in the fog. We hope we have helped enlighten your musical life. Remember to call me. Book the band. We'll come play in your backyard. 817-733-5256. Or email me, phil@philpritchett.com. And come record at the studio, even if you're just doing some fun, silly songs with your friends. Or if you're some guy who's tired of spending all this money at these gigantic studios that take forever and cost you an arm and a leg. Send me an email, phil@philpritchett.com. We do all kinds of records here. It's what we do. We love it. We'll download those Pritchett tunes off of p2tunes.com for $4 a record. Or just order the drop card, the entire Pritchett catalog, for just $20. I'll send it to you in the mail myself. We're going out. We're going to have Elliott Smith play us out tomorrow. Just another classic, sad, epic tune here. Oh, that some days I just got to listen to for myself to make me feel a little more understood no matter what mood I'm in. We hope you enjoy it. Thanks again. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast. We'll see you next week. Take care.
So I make it sound like someone. The noise is coming out. And if it's not out now, then tomorrow. in my head. The reflected sound of everything tried to go to where it led, but it didn't lead to anything. The noise is coming out, and if it's not out now, I know it's just about.